Hello and welcome to Bridges Community Church. We are so glad that you have decided to make this service part of your day. If you are in person, you can go ahead and start finding a seat. If you're online, we'll get started in just a few minutes. I'm Dan. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and we are confident whatever you've been going through, whatever's in your past, whatever might be in your future, you are in the right place, and we are glad that you are here.
straight or high, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon.
Call back the Savior, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon.
Going to be, if you have a Bible or Bible app, going to be speaking in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and you can turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We've been, over the last year, for the most part, we'll read scripture to you all before either Pastor Dan or I get up to speak typically, but I want us to kind of read through this passage together today, all together, so I hope that you do follow along in the Bible. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, I think it's good for us to just say this every once in a while. If there's anybody here who doesn't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, come find me after the service or one of our staff. We'd love to give you a Bible. We can make that happen. And there's some really, really great stories in the book of 2 Chronicles. And maybe for some of you, like me, it's been a long time since you've been in maybe the book of 2 Chronicles and you're having a hard time finding it. So it's in between 1 and 3 Chronicles if you're looking in your Bible. But there's a lot of great stories in the Old Testament. This is a good one here in 2 Chronicles 20. It's not as great as the story about Elisha calling bears down upon the kids for making fun of his bald head.
But this is a good one. And some of you were like, that's a real story? Yes, that's a story. And any young person is now going to go try to find that story. But there are three particular invitations in this story. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that I want to look at today. And I don't intend to preach very long. And all of God's people said, amen. Of course, bunch of sinners here. 2022, there's no resolution here. I heard some amens coming from my family even on that one. But I just want us to hear these invitations, though, today. These aren't resolutions. Like, we're not talking about resolutions. It's about invitations from God to us. So, you ready? Here we go. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, verse 1, the Moabites and Ammonites, and by the way, I'm going to be mispronouncing all kinds of stuff here in this chapter, so bring your judgment and you can talk to me afterwards, but I'll do the best I can. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. So we stop for a brief moment, okay? Who would name their child Jehoshaphat? Who is Jehoshaphat? This 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is during the reign of a guy named Jehoshaphat. He was the fourth king of Judah. He succeeded King Asa, and Jehoshaphat was 35 years old. Imagine that when he began his reign. And he ruled for 25 years in the mid-800 BC. Kind of give you a little timeline there. 1 Kings chapter 22 gives you a brief kind of account of his reign. 2 Chronicles 17 through 22 give a more comprehensive account. But that's Jehoshaphat. He's a king of Judah. Verse 2. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Verse 3, alarmed. Is that an appropriate response by Jehoshaphat, an army breathing down his neck? Yes, it's a very appropriate response. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So the first invitation I want us to see in this passage is an invitation to prayer. An invitation to prayer. Prayer for you, for me personally, as a family, as a church family. The invitation from God to us as we enter and make our way through this new year is an invitation to prayer. Why? Because if you've not noticed, we have some really big problems in our world. When I say our world, I mean I've got problems in my world, and you've undoubtedly have problems in your world. And as I look around the room, I see faces of people that I've been grieving with and praying for, and just listening to some of your stories. And there's some burdens here in the room today. You've got problems in your world. Our church, we've got problems in that world. We have problems in the world. We've got some big problems. Jehoshaphat's problems came with names. Moabites, Ammonites, Meunites, they started marching towards Jehoshaphat and the kingdom of Judah, and he could name his problems pretty easily. But I think for some of us, some of the scariest problems in 2022 are not the ones we can name yet, but are the ones that we just know are out there and we can't quite name just yet. Look at Jehoshaphat's response. It says that he was alarmed. Some translations say he was afraid, verse 3. Again, that's an understandable response, is it not? And this is important because I think the initial step of anybody trusting in God's help at any point must be admitting our weakness and our inability before God. It's good medicine anytime to go before the Lord and to honestly tell him how you're doing. You could do that right now. Just tell him how you're doing here, January 2nd, 2022. I'm scared, God. I'm frustrated. I'm weary. I'm angry. I'm lonely. I'm wounded. I'm exhausted, God. Whatever it is. The point of airing our pain isn't to shake a finger at God. It's just to be real and honest with him as we trust him with our deepest concerns. Trust is always a choice. Trust is always a choice, and it's one we're going to have to make over and over again. So Jehoshaphat called the people of Judah together, verse 4, to seek help from the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And so the people came from every town, it says, in Judah to seek the Lord. So there's the invitation to pray. The big problems in your world and in my world call us to. They invite us to spend time in prayer. They're an invitation to seek the Lord, to pray, to spend time individually, as a family, as a church, praying for the things that are happening in my life and in your life, and for the things that are happening in my family's life and in your family's life, for the things that are happening in our church's life, and for the things that are happening in our world. We have some really big problems. Thankfully, there's a much, much bigger God than all of those problems combined. Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard, and he said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And that's a really good moment right there. Why? Because where are Jehoshaphat's problems? They're on earth, like right out there, literally right out there. He can see them. He can touch them. And so how is he locating God in the midst of all of this? He's basically saying, hey, God, aren't you the God who is in heaven, who is in charge of all of this stuff? It's good to have a God who's in charge of all of this stuff, isn't it? Continuing in verse 6, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, and I'm sure Jehoshaphat would add parenthetically, including the ones who are marching against me right now. Power and might are in your hand, God, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Verse 8, they have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, God, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. But now, Jehoshaphat is saying, here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you, God, would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. Now see how they are repaying us, God, by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. So Jehoshaphat's prayer goes something like this. Hey, God, you're the one who's in charge. Amen and amen to that. Hey, God, you put us here in this place, and we know that this is an important thing, and so you're fulfilling your promises to your people, so we're going to stand fast on those. And by the way, God, these armies that are marching against us right now are the very people you told us to avoid. So this isn't even our fight. This isn't our fault. This isn't even our problem. And I'll just stop and ask, does anybody here have any problems or issues today that weren't created by you but that you still have to deal with? Just checking. Verse 12. For some of you, in verse 12, this may turn out to be your favorite part of this story. Verse 12, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Big problems. Got big problems, but a bigger God. When everyone around us is freaking out and our neighbors fear the sky is falling, we have to, friends, remind ourselves that we serve a loving, merciful, and sovereign God who is on the throne. Where did Jehoshaphat choose to focus his eyes? Not on the big problems, but on the bigger God. Confessing, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Is there a better prayer than that? We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. So when you hear an invitation to prayer, and I'll just give you a couple things here. When you hear an invitation to prayer, this is first not an invitation to feel guilty about not praying. It's just an invitation to pray. The only way we ever go about getting better at prayer and getting functional in that language of prayer is by actually praying. Not by feeling guilty that we didn't pray. You just pray. You can pray by yourself. You pray as a family. You pray with your church family. You can pray with a small group. So respond to this invitation today to pray. What we don't want to do is feel guilty about not praying. We want to just pray. The second thing I'll tell you about prayer is that a lot of the time, like when Jehoshaphat says, we do not know what to do, God, but our eyes are on you. I'm not totally sure, and I'm confessing this to you, I'm not totally sure how the whole prayer thing works. I just know that it works. The utility of prayer is not really the point of prayer. I understand that. The joy and the relationship that come from having a relationship with God, that's the point. But I don't know how it all works. I just know that it works. I just know that when we pray, God does stuff. And I think that one of the great invitations that's built into something like this would go like this. If we could see what happens in the heavens when we pray, I think we'd pray more. I had the privilege with my family of being on a trip a couple weeks ago. My parents had been planning it for a long time, and we got all of our shot records up to date and our booster shots and our taking COVID tests before travel and during travel and after travel and all of that kind of stuff. But we had the chance to go to Costa Rica, of all places. If you're my wife's friend on Facebook, you've probably seen some photos. And if I recall, it was on Wednesday a couple weeks ago that we did some zip lining. And I've done zip lining before, where you go from one place to another. But Costa Rica, if you didn't know, is a rainforest, a lot of the places, and there's volcanoes, and that's kind of some of the area where we were. And as I recall, in the zip lining place where we were, that not all of us did, but some of us did, there were about 8 or 9, I don't remember, cross-sectional cables in this particular place that, if I recall, together have a length of 4.5 miles with distances from maybe 100 to about 2,500 feet, which is like almost a half a mile, and a maximum height, as I recall, of about 660 feet. I did it. Shannon did it. You or somebody else could probably give me an explanation of all of the science behind a zip line and the mechanics behind it. I'm not going to understand it. I just know that it works. And all along, as you're doing this whole thing, I'm thinking, again, I've done this before, but it's different in Costa Rica. I'm just telling you, as you're 66, you know, stories up, all along, I'm just thinking, this is an amazing experience, and that's prayer. I don't always understand how it works. I just know that it's important and that it works and that it's an amazing experience. And if we could see and if we could understand opportunities that got missed because we didn't pray, I think we'd pray more. I don't think we'll get to the end of our lives and, man, I just wish I'd posted more on social media about issues that are important to me. I don't think we're going to do that. After Billy Graham had retired from public ministry, one interviewer asked him what he would do differently if he had to do it all over again. And Billy Graham said, "That's easy. I would have studied more and I would have prayed more." This is Billy Graham saying this. And he said, "I would have worried about all the rest less." If we knew all that we miss out on because we didn't pray, then I think we'd pray more. And if we knew just how much God our Father loves hearing his children pray and answering our prayers, if we knew just how much God is like that, I think we'd pray more. So it's an invitation to prayer. Continuing on with verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and their children and their little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on this guy, Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." Now, Jehoshaphat was already afraid. So God's like, "Hey, don't be afraid. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Verse 16, "Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Here's a question. Why do you think God is repeating himself here about not being afraid or discouraged? What was the reason? What's he trying to say to Jehoshaphat? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes we need to hear things more than once, don't we? Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So in this passage is an invitation to pray. Second, there's also an invitation to listen. It's an invitation to listen. Why? Because speaking is not God's problem, ever. Listening is ours. Speaking is not God's problem. Listening is ours. Sometimes God's word, when he comes to us, We are unwilling to listen for any number of reasons. We don't like what he's saying. We're so distracted by other things that are happening in our world because our lives are chaotic. We can't hear, so on, so on. There are any number of reasons why we're unwilling to listen, but that's not God's fault. Speaking is not God's problem. He's given us his word. His words are clear to us. The question is, are we listening? And so sometimes when God's word comes to us, what it does is it makes us feel really small sometimes. Like the time when Job started lecturing God about what God ought to be doing about Job's dire situation and about where God, from Job's perspective, had dropped the ball. And God's response to Job is, oh, good, Job, I'm glad we're talking about this. Just, Job, where were you? Can you remind me when I made the world? I can't remember. When I created the creatures of the sea, Job, I can't remember. Were we together in that conversation, Job? And oh, by the way, when I flung the stars into the heavens, Job, are you there handing me star stuff? Sometimes when God speaks to us, we feel really small. Now, I've personally never gotten into the whole creation conversation with God like Job has or anything like that. But on occasion, God will speak to me through a scripture passage, a sermon, a podcast, a conversation, a trial, a pivotal circumstance, you name it, and it essentially has the same effect on me that it did on Job. And when he does that, God is just reminding us that he is the God in the heavens. He's reminding us that our problems may be big, but there is a bigger God. So sometimes when God speaks to us, we feel really small. Other times when God speaks to us, we feel empowered. It's usually something along the lines of the reminder from Scripture that if God is for us, who can be against us? And so you're looking at Monday's appointment. Today, right now, you're looking at tomorrow's appointment, or you're looking at next week's meeting, or you're reading that email that just came in and you're like, are you kidding me? I've got to deal with this now. And God's Spirit is trying to remind you, if God is for you, who can be against you? Or maybe God is trying to remind you of the wonderful promises from Lamentations 3. I was just talking out on the patio with a few people about this, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every day, and they're new every year. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Or maybe he's reminding you of something like Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, don't be anxious. Instead, do this and you will have peace. And you're like, I can do that. Let's go. I'm going to offer up my prayers and my petitions and I'm going to thank God as I do that. And then I trust that he's going to do all the rest. So sometimes God's voice makes us feel really small. Sometimes it empowers us. But here's what it always does. It always reveals God's heart for you and for me. Back to zip lining here for a moment. The guy doing all the training demonstration before we did the zip lining is making it look really, really easy. It's just a kid doing it. And there's some instructions being given out about what to do and about what not to do. And again, I've done this before. And we're all like, hey, sounds great to us. They're telling us how to hold our arms and to lean back and to cross our legs and all of that stuff, 66 stories above the rainforest. And then the person says, at some point, as you're going along at I don't know how fast, really, really fast, the person on the other end of the line is going to be shaking the cable, and that's an indication you need to start turning the device that you're holding on to, and you also need to spread your legs wider, and you need to brace for impact. And if you don't do this, then you're going to risk going backwards and getting stuck dangling 66 stories above the rainforest, and we're going to have to try to get you. And you're trying hard to pay attention to the instructions, but then your mind just starts, like, what if I didn't do that? What if I mess up? What if I do this incorrectly? I'm supposed to preach on January the 2nd. There are probably some people who ignore the instructions and are like, I've got this. But the rest of us are typically like, even again, it's an amazing thing, but you're just like, hearing the instructions and going like, what options do I have here? I'm not just going to try to figure this out as I go. I better be listening. And what we have to do in that moment is we have to trust that the person who is giving out the instructions and demonstrating this knows what they're doing. We have to trust that they've done this before. We have to trust that they're as interested in our safety, in our well-being, and our enjoyment of the whole experience as we are. Their job is to provide the instructions And then what do we get to do? We get to trust the instructor. And for some of you today, maybe that's the biggest takeaway, that God is speaking to you and you need to listen. I don't know what he's saying. It's just an invitation to listen. Last thing, verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites, the priests from the Kohathites and Korahites, stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful." Verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." So just picture this. Get this in your head. They're going out to war. They've had this guy speak and say, "Don't worry about it. You've just got to stand firm, okay? God has spoken and said this is where they're going to be. Just go out there and watch the deliverance of God." And so they respond by saying, "Fantastic, let's send the army out. But before the army gets there, let's send out Nate and the worship team. What's your battle strategy?" "Let's send the worship team out first. Not the soldiers. Bring the singers. Bring the people playing the instruments. That's what we want to do. Let's send them out first. And we'll just let them lead the way." And so Nate's coming in with his guitar and Laura's singing. Mike's playing the piano through the pass of Z's. They're leading the way. Verse 22, as they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And then we're going to stop here at verse 24. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. None. This last invitation is simply an invitation to obey. An invitation to obey. To do so, we have to release a couple of things. To obey, we have to release control. And to obey, we have to release fear. Let's start with relinquishing control. Some of us live with the sense that I'm the only one who is concerned with and working on the outcomes of my life. I'm the only one. And that's what we call a control issue. And so part of what the Lord is calling us to release in 2022 is to release that and to say, "Hey, God, you're the one who's actually working on this stuff. You're in control. You've got this. You know how to pull this whole thing off. You're more concerned about the outcomes of my life than even I am. And so, God, I trust you." You have to relinquish control. Maybe that's control in your parenting. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in a relationship that you're trying to control, or maybe it's relinquishing control as you make your way towards the autumn or the winter seasons of your life, or you're watching people that you love do that. This obedience thing isn't really passive. It's very active, and we need to relinquish control to God. We also need to relinquish fear. And can I just encourage you and encourage me by saying, may we never be a people whose fear determines our obedience. May we never be a people whose fear determines our obedience. Fear of what people are saying, fear of what people are not saying, fear of somebody else's approval, fear of the presence of something in your life, fear of the absence of something in your life. Can I really live with this? Can I really live without this? Fear that God won't hear, fear that God won't answer. May we never be a people whose fear determines our obedience. And maybe God has put something on your heart, but you've determined you're not going to step out in obedience until you have more of the picture, where each step is clearly lined out for you. And if you spent, again, any time around me, I'll tell you that's not typically how I've discovered that God works, where he gives you the whole picture. I found that God works where he tells you the next thing, and then you do that, and then he reveals the next thing at some point. May not be for a while, but you're not responsible for what he hasn't shown you. You're responsible for the trust part in the things that he has shown you. You take the first step, and then step two and three and four follow if there are other steps along the way. That's typically how God works. It's this moment-by-moment dependence upon him. You'll probably hear me say this as well. God doesn't give us today what we're going to need for tomorrow, usually. He doesn't give us today what we needed yesterday. He gives you today what you need for today. He'll give you tomorrow what you're going to need for tomorrow. Daily provision for daily need. That's how God typically works. It's this daily dependence upon Him. So we have these three invitations in 2022. An invitation to prayer, an invitation to listen to God, and an invitation to obey. So we look to God today, not because He's going to necessarily prove His love to you and to me by protecting us from all trial in 2022. But we look to God today because He's already demonstrated His love by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners, so that all who believe in Him might not perish but have eternal life and abundant life. That's the invitation for you and for me as we begin this year. An invitation to pray, an invitation to listen, and an invitation to obey. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for its timeliness, and thank You that Your mercies are new today. They'll be new tomorrow. They'll be new the day after. So many burdens, so many problems right now, but I pray that our eyes would not be on the problems, but on the much, much bigger God that You are. May we pray with greater earnestness and intentionality in this year. May we listen more. May we obey freely. Thank You for these invitations, and thank You for a God who wants relationship with us. And You invite us into a relationship, not into a religion or into a liturgy, but into a relationship, and we're grateful for that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the opportunity to usher in this new year by taking communion all together, so our servers are going to be getting ready for that. And I just want to share that for some of you, 2022 is really good news, and for some of us, 2022, it's like, I don't really know if this is good news or not that we're here in a new year. But I just want to remind us of the real good news, and that's the gospel. Communion causes us to reflect upon the gospel. The gospel is the good news about what God has done by providing a way for us to have a relationship with God through Jesus. We are saved by grace, not through our own efforts. That's the good news. And that's good news all the time for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. We have a really, really big problem. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of God's righteous standard. We have a big problem in our predicament. Is Romans 6:23, that the wages of our sin and our falling short of God's standard is death and separation from Him. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He didn't wait for us to clean up our act. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. So the invitation, Romans 10, is that we can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If we confess Jesus with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. Not as a result of our works. We're made right with God by His grace. And so we celebrate that as we reflect, take communion together. These elements are just simple wafer and cup. And we need to be reminded there's nothing supernatural about these elements, but they're symbols. They're symbols that remind us of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And so what Jesus did is He shared a meal with His followers. We're told about this in the Gospels, told about it in 1 Corinthians. We're reminded that Jesus, during the meal, at one point took some bread and He broke it after giving thanks. And He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." So we take the bread today in remembrance of Jesus and His body broken for us. And then after supper, it says He took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant of My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." Jesus is ushering in a new covenant. A new covenant with His people where He writes His law on our hearts and He changes our hearts. He transforms us from the inside out. That's the new covenant. And so we celebrate that and we remember that by taking the blood of Jesus, by taking the cup. We remember the blood of Jesus. And we are to not, Scripture tells us, to take these elements in an unworthy manner. What that means is if there is some sin that you need to deal with God, deal with that before taking these elements. We give thanks for Jesus' body and for his blood. So we're going to take the elements, and what you're going to do is you're going to see some stations up here in the front. We've got two in the back. I believe those folks outside have someone that can bring them those elements. And you can take these elements at your own pace. I'm not going to come back up here and lead us through it. I'm just reminding you of these symbols now so you can go back to your seat and take these elements when you and the Lord are ready for you to take these elements in remembrance of Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and then you all can come and take the elements at your pace, and then we're going to sing together. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these elements. I pray that you would remind us of these powerful symbols and of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Thank you for sending a lamb, a savior, just as we needed. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice. We place all of our hope in his righteousness, not in our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You come, take communion as you're ready.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you to our worship team here, and thank you to Steve. What a great way to orient ourselves as we start a new year by focusing on Christ and praying and listening and obeying and Him being our vision. I'm grateful for that word in my life. If you have any questions about what you have seen or heard today from Steve's sermon, or maybe this is your first time in church, maybe at the new year you said, I'm going to start going to church, and here you are, and we're grateful for that. But if you have any questions about the service, the sermon, or Christianity in general, we would love to hear them. We have a way for you to do that. If you go to bridges.info, there's a button there that you can submit sermon questions, and then we respond to those. Anybody who sends us a question and lets us know who you are, we respond to you. And then we generally pick one out and respond on video, which is released later in the week, so you can look out for that one particular video. While you're there at bridges.info, you can find ways both to serve at Bridges and serve around the world. We actually have a mission trip coming up, so you can find that info there on bridges.info. One thing that you will not find on bridges.info is a week from today, January 9th, we have a special worship service here, Sunday evening, 6 p.m. It's the Liberty Quartet, who has come here for so many years, but they missed last year. It's one of the things COVID robbed from us, and so they're going to be back this year. It's a free event, although they will take a love offering during the service, so you can come here at 6 p.m. next week. While you're there at bridges.info, there is a way to give online, and we really are so grateful for those gifts that we can continue our ministries here both locally and globally around the world, support all of our mission partners, support all the ministries of this church here in our community. One of our missions is to get Jesus to the world, and so your gifts make that possible. And we are grateful for them. If you want to give in person with paper money or a check, you can do that as well with the boxes that are bolted to the back wall back there. Before we close today, I would like for us to pray for a specific need of one of our very loved church members. We don't pray as often as we should for our what's going on in the needs of our church, but this is a very critical need of Margie Fisher, who is so loved around here, such a welcoming spirit, spark of life, and is a fixture at Bridges, and she is in very critical care due to COVID. It's intensive care, intubated. It's as serious as COVID gets, and whether you know her or not, you are somehow connected to her by being part of this corporate body here. And so I just want us to take a moment to pray for her, pray for her life, for her healing, her restoration to fullness of life, and for her family, her husband, Kent. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for Margie and the life and light that she has brought to all of us who know her, and we pray that you would heal her now, that you would take away this virus, that you would restore her health, that she would come off this intubation. Lord, restore her to us, that we may know her for years and years to come. We pray that as you do this, that you would gain glory for yourself. The doctors and everyone would be amazed at her healing, and that we could point to you for the source of that healing. Lord, please provide these things. We are in agreement today as a corporate body as we ask. We ask them in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying and continuing to pray for her. And I know there's so many other needs in our congregation as well. And you are all in our prayers. Every day. Well, even as we are praying, as Mike sang earlier, may the Lord be our vision. May He be the song in our heart. May He be what is most true and most treasured in our lives. And may we seek him as we start this new year. Happy New Year. It's good to see all of you, and thank you for being here.